You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 405, Strength in Numbers. And welcome. Oh, hey. You do not.
Hey now.
No theme. You do not to bite that apple twice. No, sir. Technology. Computers all up in this shit today.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. We welcome to episode 405. Not even 54 seconds in. Actually, that was all right on 52 seconds.
Oh, 52.
Yeah. Damn. All right. So, welcome to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 405. For those who don't believe that we do not edit, there's your proof.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's your proof.
I am Paul French, and today I'm camping kid.
Oh.
Just got back from a weekend of camping with the family.
Oh, see, and I thought watching Valley of the Dolls.
Oh, see.
Camping. Uh-huh. Camping.
Oh, that would have been much less busy.
Oh, true.
No, we had a great weekend of camping, and they even did a movie out in the field last night, and it was the Lego Movie.
Oh, sweet.
And so I took Ella to see that, and she loved it. And as I expected, she would. And she was very excited when Batman showed up.
Of course.
And was totally showing off her superhero knowledge for the friend that we were camping with.
Uh-huh.
For our friend's son, you know, Ella's like, and that's Green Lantern. And look, Daddy Flash. And she was really, really quite pleased. And
love it. She's a regular walking who's who, that girl.
Seriously, it was awesome. And even this morning, as we were over at the bathrooms, they had the posters up for it, and of course, the poster has Batman on it. And Sarah sees it, she's like, "Daddy, Batman!" Pshh! Because that's her thing for Batman. She always does like. She's conflated it with Spider-Man at some point.
Okay.
And it's so cute.
Well, spiders and bats. I get it.
It's so cute. We haven't disabused her of the notion. So
fair enough.
So
it can also be the sound of them going down the bat poles.
Very true. And you're gonna like this. So we went camping. Mm-hmm. We did lots of playing at the beach,
all that
kind of stuff. Did the camping thing. We get home, and just to keep the kids busy while we unpack, I put on the Lego Movie again, because of course it had been almost 24 hours, and Sarah didn't get to go with us.
Aww.
So, well, it was way too late.
It was late, yeah.
And so they watched that again, and after that they wanted to watch more Batman. But what did they want to watch?
Brave and the Bold.
No.
Ooh.
60s series.
Really?
Yeah. So we popped on the first of the third season with the first Batgirl episode.
Oh, excellent! Sir.
With the Penguin, and we watched that, and then we watched a couple, and you know, we got as far as partway through the Siren, and then it's like, okay, I should probably make some dinner.
Yeah.
And,
Collins will do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a little high pitched for me. So anyway, lots and lots of great superhero action.
That's amazing.
It
all
is.
Joan Collins had to do was open her mouth once during the episode.
Exactly.
No lines. Just stand there, Joan. Look pretty. Now open.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonder and, how she got the role.
And I was going to say, that's not the first time someone had said that. But you know, I love that I'm able to watch this with my kids, just like my dad watched it with me. It's really, really cool.
I have to take that back. Joan Collins is a very serious actor. She gave us 5 years of some very good primetime TV in Dynasty.
Yes. And, very serious.
And she's a gay diva. So if I don't apologize, I'll be drummed out of the club, and I can't have that because it's too late to do the other team. It's just
fair enough, sir. Fair enough. At this stage, it's
this stage
starting over again, rebuilding. No, not happening.
Not happening.
Fair enough.
I built my gay castle, damn it, and I'm staying in it. Oh.
Because it's fabulous.
Get off my fabulous lawn, you breeders. Hi, everybody. I'm Darren Noel, and I am Gunkle Guy. Because my brother apparently has done something I will more than likely never do. I have a nephew on the way.
What? That's awesome.
I do. It's supposed to be sometime in January, so hopefully things will happen. Nice. As is tradition in the South, they got married after the pregnancy was confirmed. So,
you know.
They've been going out for a while.
Why mess with tradition?
Well, exactly. And they wanted to get married, but they wanted to have a big ceremony. There were some family things going on that prevented that, some illnesses from some key people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went ahead and made it official this weekend. They are officially married, and they'll have a ceremony later.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Okay.
So that's nice and fun and different. And, of course, I am also high on fumes guy because I've been painting and making the place look nice so mm-hmm. that my lipstick lesbian real estate agent can sell it. Yay.
Ah, yes.
Always call in the lipsticks for that. It's a very gentle art selling lipstick.
Because also if there are any repairs needed.
Oh, totes. Actually, I've been doing most of it with some friends of mine and myself. So I'm doing
the
majority of the painting. I've got to put the plates back on the covers of the light switches and such, but that's about it.
That's about all. It's like, man, light switches is hard to say now.
I've been doing a little bit of this. I've been doing a little of that. And in between, I've been Julia Childing it, if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah.
Oh, one drop of sherry for the turkey and another one shot of Darren. For you. So yeah.
Yeah, that was today. We were walking down a hill, and Sarah was nervous about it. And I said, "Don't worry, I've got you." And we walked down the hill, and she goes, "Daddy, I don't want to get high." And it's like, you say that now. I think we're not going to be having this same conversation in 15 years.
You'll be like, just say no, damn it. Meanwhile, Julie will be like, and remember, if you drop the turkey, no one's going to know but you.
I seem to have cut the dickens out of my finger.
I should get a band-aid or something. God, yes. Yeah, we're off the rails tonight, kids.
Wow,
just
prepare. Yeah. Yeah, it's
at least your Monday morning will be interesting and entertaining.
Hey, right? So
exactly.
We got actually lots of stuff to get to.
Oh, cool. Let's get to it then.
So we have a whole rundown of this week in Legion history.
Got a really big shoe.
Really big shoe. We got some feedback, all that stuff. So let's start off with this week in Legion history. I need to like come up with a little tag for that at some point.
That would require editing, so no.
Well, no, it would be a little theme that I can press play on.
Okay.
Editing. All right, so this week in Legion history, as we record this, it is the 17th of July.
It is.
So on this day at some point, Lana Lang was born.
Oh, really?
Yes, the
insect
queen herself.
Did she come out full with wasp wings on her?
Well, I know. As we know, the date, the actual year was sliding.
Well, of course, like you do when you're a lady.
Like you do. Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen number 31 came out. Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes 244. July 17th, 1985, the Superman of Earth 2, Dawnstar, and Commandy battled some shadow demons.
Oh, yeah, they did.
A year later, Booster Gold number 9 continued the story of how Booster got his flight ring.
Oh.
Superpowers Volume 3 number 2 also came out that year, as did DC Universe, Who's Who, the definitive directory of the DC Universe number 20.
Yeah.
In 1990, we had Volume 4, Issue Number 11. So the penultimate tale of that first year of 5 years later.
Ah, yeah.
6 years later, Legionnaires 40 would rear its head. So
wow, yeah.
Give you a little bit of perspective there. And in 2013, Volume 7, Number 22.
Wow.
Came out. Yeah, exactly.
Volume 7.
We also had the Phantom Zone trade paperback come out. Also on this day in 2985, the Legion battled antimatter in the 30th century Metropolis, and Kid Psycho met his end.
Aww. Not Kid Psycho.
Oh, it's true.
It is.
All right. There seems to be a discrepancy here on the Monday, the 18th of July. It says countdown number 41. I don't seem to recall that.
I have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah, me neither. Legion of Superheroes in the 31st Century, number 4, came out. Also in 2993, Bob Cohan, Crystal Kid, was transferred to the Weisinger Chambers.
Sounds painful.
That wasn't
actually
a good thing. No.
Oh.
On the 19th, we had Flash, the Fastest Man Alive. That would have in 2006. We had Supergirl and the Legion of Superheroes, number 20. Uh-huh. Volume 3, number 3, came out in 1984. So we were just a month off Karate Kid meeting his end.
Yeah.
And in 1988, Legion of Superheroes Volume 3, number 52, came out. The one we just did a couple of weeks ago.
Woohoo!
Let's just scroll down the scrolling Z. On July 20th, 2987, Superboy and the Legionnaires were in a strange battle involving manipulation of the time stream by a rogue time trapper. Superboy sacrifices himself to save the pocket universe and dies in Mon-El's arms. After returning with the Legion to the 30th century, he was buried on Earth, his funeral attended by billions. It says this is the Legion's first encounter with the Time Trapper. They believe him to be Glorith in disguise. Remember, this is a lot of this stuff comes from the 2985. And Michael actually published sort of his rationale for how he determines a lot of the dates.
Ah, gotcha.
In here, and I'll explain that in a moment. In 2961, this Tuesday, July 21st, it will eventually be the birth date of Stack Mavlin, also known as Fire Lad.
Fire Lad. Yeah, in the future, that is.
Yes. So it's not yet his
not
birthday.
Not history, so no. to speak. Yeah, no.
Yes, this day in Legion history, so, you know. July 23rd, 2991, EarthGov declares a state of emergency. Elections are suspended.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you gotta wonder. That.
Yeah. Oh, Taylor.
All right.
Taylor.
Yeah, well.
Making EarthGov great again.
All right.
yes.
So, just so you know how the dates are arrived at, the issues are the on sale date. You know, so when something, you know, like the 717 for the crisis stuff was because that was the on sale date of the issue. But the other stuff, everything else, the text comes from the 2995 source book, which we've talked about before. In fact, we talked about it with Michael on episode 400. And so what the Beer Bombs did with the source book was they said the Levitt's run ended in 1989. So we mark that date as 2989. Okay. Theirs was 5 years later, or 2994. And then they would look at leader elections, which were held once a year.
Uh-huh.
And that was basically how they fit the other stories into that time frame. So that's how they said that the formation of the Legion was 2973. Uh-huh. And basically worked from there, because yes, it was once a year. So that's the thing. And they took the birth dates of the Legionnaires from the 1976 DC calendar and assigned years to them according to this timeline, and said that basically, if person X was 15 years old when they joined, we can say that they were born in this particular year. And so they actually,
that makes sense.
They
yeah,
actually
sure.
kind of mapped out the timeline, which I think is pretty cool. and he said for Crisis, he used the Amazing Heroes post-Crisis wrap-up issue, which put everything into on July X, this happened, with the dates based on something like something similar to like a news report that was given in the Crisis issue. So in the Crisis cases, it actually wasn't just the on-sale date.
So yeah, I thought he'd be using that little, you know, the questions method of push pins in a bulletin board with string.
I think it's not far off that.
Yeah.
on the Beer Bombs part.
True. And who can blame them?
No.
Cluster. I mean, good God.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that
this happened, throw the dart.
Possibly right my there. Favorite thing about that source book is the fact that it does go into that kind of depth on the history of the Legion. Appropriate when it's written by a couple of Interlac members, you know.
True.
But yeah,
it was like getting a very, very nice fanzine copy, wasn't it? It's like, seriously. Ooh, it's special. Look at that. Yes.
Exactly. So anyway, on to some feedback.
Feedback.
Get the other device out. See, I don't need to do a bit for it. You've already got it.
Feedback. I don't think we're gonna keep that bit though, but that's okay.
It's very Max Headroom,
isn't it?
All right.
Stealing Matt Frewer's shtick.
Exactly. He's like, wait a second. This is my way back in.
Doubtful.
Well, there's that. All right, from our good friend Mark Sweeney. He said, yeah, the Giffen layouts and DiCarlo finishes were not an ideal look for the book. Gotta think that Giffen was working on layouts for Invasion at this point. Hadn't thought of that. And he said, those monsters were 80 pages apiece, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, they were.
And that had to have an effect on his schedule. Invasion should be coming up on an event theater soon, right? Yeah, there's one little stumbling block in between that.
Yeah, there is. And no one wants to go there.
I love that you're mentioning...
But we have to go there.
Yeah, we will. I'm looking forward to going to Invasion. I love the hell out of that.
Invasion was cool. Because, and only 3 issues.
Yeah, 3 awesome issues.
3 awesome, awesome, awesome issues.
Yeah. And that was with... you know what? That was Bill Mantlo as well.
Yeah.
Because I think...
The one that we have to do before that, though.
Yeah,
Not so much. No. But we will get to it, I promise.
We will, absolutely. He says, love that you're mentioning all the house ads. I love those subscription offers like the Dr. Fate one. And he brings up a good point here. Hard to imagine fans waiting 3 months to get their comics, issues 1, 2, and 3, even packaged with a poster.
Ooh.
He said, I was one of the ones who stuck it out, though. Not for Dr. Fate, but for the 1991 Sean McLaughlin Aquaman series.
Ah.
I got issues 1 to 3 in pretty shit condition, by the way.
Mm.
And he says, packaged with a signed Kevin Maguire poster, because if you remember, Maguire did the covers for that series. And it's funny, because I actually forgot that's I remember that series, but I had forgotten that it existed. And I mean, I have all the issues. And it was when I was going through boxes that I found it, and I thought, oh, I'd forgotten about this series. Because, of course, right after that was the Peter David series, and it was and it was such a dramatic change that it really kind of put the other one, it really kind of made me forget all about the other one.
Uh-huh.
And he says...
It kind of made it in Elseworlds in a way.
A little bit, yeah. Difference. He said, I haven't looked at that poster in a while. I should dig it out and put up a pic on the Twitter. He's right. He should. Yeah. So thanks for that, Mark. Now, let's see. That's all I got.
We'll see if I was going to bring Aquaman back.
Yeah.
He would have the blue camo outfit. Sorry.
Blue camo was pretty cool.
Blue camo was righteously cool.
Yeah. No,
I would so do that just to set a different era on him.
And of course, the eagle-eared members of the audience will know.
Yes.
We did discuss that very costume with Phil Jimenez.
We did.
A while back. And so, so you should go back and listen to that episode. You should definitely go back and listen to that episode. All right. Shall we get into the issue?
I suppose we should. Well, we've got more DC news, though.
Oh,
general
yes.
DC news.
You're right. Absolutely.
I am right, sir.
Yes.
I am right. It is the 75th anniversary of course, everyone's favorite amazing Amazon, Wonder Woman.
Absolutely.
Believe it or not.
So 75
years. 75
years.
Well, Superman, Batman.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it's...
And obviously, we've gone kind of... I think DC kind of glossed over a Flash and Green Lantern because they premiered beforehand.
And you know what? They did, but the reason is the sort of iconic versions that we know now...
weren't those versions
No,
back then.
But they did publish a couple of hardcovers. I know they did one of Flash... a neat sort of Flash through the Ages hardcover, which they also did for Superman and for Lois Lane, in fact, and for Batman and for the Joker.
It's cool that those 3 characters got the animated treatments. Have you not seen the animated Wonder Woman 75th anniversary cartoon?
I have not, and I will have to make
it. It's very cute. Very, very cute.
I'll have to check that out.
We will post it to the page. We'll put all 3 of them in a post together.
Please do. I think that would be awesome because, just It would be awesome. And yep. And I know my kid will be excited to see it.
Indeed.
And because she loves her some Wonder Woman. And
yep, it's just cool to see how they all evolve over the years.
Well, that's it, right? I mean, you know, because none of them. I mean, everybody goes on about the you know, Superman would never do this, or Wonder Woman would never do that, and it's like, yeah, but at some point in their history, they might have.
They did.
Yeah, and they probably did. Exactly.
They did. There wasn't Batman. Batman was killing people in his first appearance, and so was Superman.
Absolutely.
You know, so
absolutely.
They've never done that.
Yeah, well, Batman was all a fitting end for his kind, and using guns and all that kind of stuff.
Now it may be that people have never read those stories, and that I understand.
Yeah, and in their defense, you know, those stories were largely sort of out of canon later on.
Well, they were feeling their way around, obviously. Yeah, so you know, and then they got to the point where in the '50s, though, they would never do something like that because it was the '50s, right?
The '50s were glorious. Oh my god, there was so much, such great stuff.
There was some great cool stuff in the Silver Age, but the '50s were not glorious.
Well,
they were rather dull.
There was some good comics that came out of
there
it.
There were some good comics.
I know everyone's all, Batman's only dark and street level. I love me some Batman going into space. I'm talking
more the general pop culture at the time was very Ozzy, Harriet, you know, nothing at all edgy like we have today.
But you read some of those, like that first volume of Superman in the showcases, that is some crazy shit.
That's true too.
I mean, it is just balls out nuts, and like,
excuse me, that's redundant.
It is, isn't it?
Sorry, it's redundant.
It's like today.
You can't say balls out nuts today that's redundant.
I was sitting with the kids; they were having ice cream, and I had a little bowl of peanuts, and Ella says, "I love D's nuts."
Oh my God! No, she did not say that.
I did a total spit take with my coffee. It was so funny. And I'm just like, I'm not going there. I'm not going. No. But I did file it away, clearly, for further use. But no, there was some stuff that was, you know, there's a reason that that's the kind of stuff that Grant Morrison has gone back to.
True.
And it's great stuff. But yeah, so happy 75th to Wonder Woman. So we can think of some of the different people that have played Wonder Woman. How many can you name off the top of your
head? I can name Linda Carter, obviously.
Yeah.
And I know she didn't play Wonder Woman, but come on. You got to give it up for Deborah Winger as Drusilla.
Yes.
The first Wonder Girl. Of course, you have Kathy Lee Crosby.
Correct.
Who played Wonder Woman first. Well, in an actual movie. There was a pilot, and I forget who the woman was who played her then. I think the voice of Wonder Woman on the Super Friends passed away recently. I forget her name, though. It wasn't one of the, like, the Janet Waldos, though, I don't believe.
I'm not sure, actually.
Susan Eisenberg played Wonder Woman on Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, and has done her voice in several of the movies that have occurred that have been animated. What's her name? Felicity did her in the Wonder Woman movie. I forget her name.
Carrie Russell.
Yeah. Okay, I know her as Felicity.
Excellent. Yes, you've hit a bunch of them.
I've got to say Gina Torres as Superwoman being a
An analog of Wonder Woman.
She counts. So there you go.
We cannot forget the most recent Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot, and the one who did the pilot that didn't get picked up.
Adrian Palicki.
Yeah,
yeah. Who would later go on to the Marvel Universe to play Mockingbird.
Yeah, kind of a downgrade.
Yeah, a little bit.
But she got so that counts.
Yeah, Lucy Lawless did the voice of Wonder Woman in Justice League: The New Frontier. Rosario Dawson played her most recently in Justice League versus Teen Titans, which I watched the other week.
I have not seen that
yet.
It's not bad.
It's some of it is hard. It's hard to see that first Trigon story with
any other way, right?
With Damian. So that's kind of weird. It's good. It is good. It actually is. But it's also this whole like, oh, Cyborg, you could have been one of us Titans.
Nudge, nudge, wink.
Yeah,
wink.
Yeah. Okay, we mentioned Kerry Russell, Kathy Lee Crosby. Leslie Bibb played her in movie 43. Those who are like, who the hell's Leslie Bibb? She was the journalist that that slept with Iron Man in the first Iron Man movie.
Oh, the trash that Pepper had to take out. Got
it. Right. You mentioned Susan Eisenberg. Gray Delisle, who has done a lot of really cool voice
work. Oh, yeah, she did. Was she Wonder Woman in Brave and Bold?
No, in Trapped in Time, the JLA Adventures Trapped in Time.
Okay.
Alma Moreno in Fantastica versus Wonder Woman. Carrie Walgren in Lego DC Comics Superheroes Justice League versus Bizarro League. speaking of another person who went on to Marvel, Colby Smulders did her voice in the Lego movie. I think her only line was pretty much "Dang it," but or not much more than that.
That was a great line.
That's all the kids were talking about at breakfast this morning. I was like, so kids, what was your favorite part of the movie? And they're like, I liked it when the Batmobile blew up and Batman said "Dang it," and then the Invisible Jet blew up and Wonder Woman said "Dang it."
Beautiful, beautifully done.
And Vanessa Marshall played her in Justice League Crisis on Two Earths.
Oh, cool.
Which was the last Dwayne McDuffie Justice League movie with the Injustice League. So a lot of people who have played Wonder Woman, and it's always nice to see when she gets the right treatment, you know, like totally. To me, the one in The New Frontier was just brilliant. Mm-hmm. Absolutely brilliant. And
well, I think Lucy Lawless's voice
was perfect.
Helps a lot with that. And I liked Eisenberg's voice as well.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, not to short shrift the other actresses who have played her. It's a tough role to play.
Sure.
But really Eisenberg was like Wonder Woman for so long. I hear her voice when I read comics.
Yeah, you know what I agree. Mean? I agree.
So, like Kevin Conroy is Batman for me.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
You know, I can't read a dark and gritty Batman comic with Adam West's voice in my head.
And you know what was neat is last night as Superman flies in on the Lego movie, mm-hmm. Ella's like, his voice is weird because it was Channing Tatum.
Oh well, there you go.
And but no, she's used to hearing Tim Daly. Right? In all of the Justice League Unlimited stuff. To her, George Superman Newbern. To her it's either George Newbern or Tim Daly. Because mm-hmm. Tim Daly was in the animated series. I guess they switched to Justice League. Yeah. But you know, she's seen a lot of the Superman animated series and a lot of the Justice League. So to her, that's the voice of Superman.
True.
And quite honestly, you know, Kevin Conroy, as much as she's seen of that, to her, mm-hmm. I'm going to say it's probably, what's his name? She didn't notice when it was Joe Bluth in the Lego movie, but, you know, she's used to Diedrich Bader.
Oh, yeah, right? From Brave and the Bold.
From Brave and the Bold,
totally.
Now... To be fair, he did his own thing, but you could see he'd listened to some Kevin Conroy on
totally.
Right?
And but he still had that dark... It was kind of an Adam West Conroy mashup, in a way.
Because
he had to do all those cheeky, you know, well, the hammers of justice stop for no man.
exactly. You
know? And it's like, really?
And that's not to say that he wasn't doing his own thing, but you could see that he was really respecting... exactly, which is awesome. And so she looks at that. But I would say that for her, Susan Eisenberg would be Wonder Woman.
Oh, totally.
And that's only because I have not yet had a chance to show her some of the Linda Carter series. And at some point I will remedy
that. Well,
she's
about ready for it, I think.
I think so. Oh, she's been watching her some Batman. So,
it's time.
It was only a year later I was watching Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Hey, Sunny, is the girl with the golden boobs on TV? Yes, Dad.
Exactly.
Yeah, wow. I'll watch TV with you.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Oh,
the
my.
The only time I didn't get a hassle from my dad about watching a superhero show was Wonder Woman. I wonder why.
Exactly.
Transparent. Yeah. Transparent.
Oh, my. I'm trying to think if there's any other general DC news that we need to hit, and I don't think there is.
But it's Comic-Con this week, so stay tuned.
Oh, that's right. That's exactly why there is no news.
That's why there's no news.
Yeah.
No news is good news until we get the news.
Indeed.
So, man, don't want to be spoiled. Stay off the usual comic sites because you know they're going to be full of, let's say, stories.
Yes. Yes, let's say that. Love
stories, shall we?
Yeah, exactly.
I like that phrasing.
All right, so we have an issue to get into here.
You do, sir. You want me to do it?
Yeah. It's okay. Issue number 54, and love this.
We are now in the countdown towards the end of the Baxter run.
Yeah.
So on the cover, it is Wildfire with his new look, Ultra Boy with his new look, and Dawnstar with her new look.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We've got new costumes to talk about.
Oh,
dear God. So Wildfire's in his energy construct bit that Quizlet taught him how to do. Ultra Boy is sporting the infamous 90s big wide jacket, shoulder pad, big bulky boots look.
Yeah.
With his red green dragon shirt on underneath all that. And yes, he's got pouches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's got pouches.
And this had to predate Cable by a good few years.
Yeah. Yeah. And Dawnstar has, instead of having long black hair all going everywhere, she has now wrapped her hair in these hair wraps. Has a huge earring on one ear for no apparent reason, is no longer sporting the cleavage that she used to, and she has pouches as well.
Yes, a very American Indian look, without a doubt.
She's got feathers by her shin and no big boots. So, yeah, her look's completely changed.
Yeah.
She still has a little of the fringe, but, you know, her look is completely changed.
Yeah.
So we open up and we see Polar Boy's got a new outfit too.
And there are pouches.
There are pouches. Oh, goodness gracious me. So it's Legion Superhero Strength in Numbers, brought to us by Paul Levitz, writer, Keith Giffen, penciler, co-plotter, Mike DiCarlo, inker, John Costanza, letterer, Carl Gafford, colorist, Art Young, assistant editor, and Karen Berger as the editor. And Polar Boy's standing there talking to the Computo construct, who we're just going to call Tyrion. Because that everyone can relate to him. So there's Polar Boy saying, count them, Computo. Colossal Boy, White Witch, Brainiac 5, Dream Girl, Mon-El, Shadow Lass, and now Block is missing. If I stay leader much longer, there won't be a Legion left to lead. Foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. And that list is before I told everyone about the new uniforms you're passing around. Tyrion says, the count is 7, Polar Boy, and you requested a resupply. I can only follow my programming. I think when Brainy left, he rigged your programming to embarrass me. Brainiac 5 programmed me to be totally responsive to the Legion's needs. Breep. Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, nobody's paying attention to the rules. Half the heavy hitters are off the team one way or another, and I'm in charge of what's little that's left. An honor and a privilege, right? I've got to find a way out of this mess so I can end my first term as leader as a real hero. I wanted this chance for years. I'm not going to let anything ruin it now. Breep, breep. And the mission monitor board lights up. A jailbreak at Labyrinth. Computo, would a headache preparation be appropriate, sir? Beep. So on Labyrinth, we see a big glowing explosion and security status in danger. Diagnostic information indicates infiltration by bioengineered device or sentient triggered by the temperature of the suspend cells. Science police data network out. The scientists of Kundia are wondrous indeed. Their implants enable me to walk out of this cell as though it had no effect on me. And though the warlords thought Garak volunteered for the sake of glory and battle, now I can pursue the reasons of my own. And it's Garak of the Glow, that Kund that Lightning Glass captured a few issues back with hardly any trouble. Yeah, turns out this was all a plot. And all I must do is walk through Labyrinth and my biocircuits will disrupt all the cells, waking the prisoners. Then we shall see how secure this world really is. and we get a big old SP battle droid. Prisoner, return to your cell. It's very, very RoboCop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One of the famed wardens in a steel case. The glow has no fear of you, fool. Zam! And he basically blows him up. I have my energy packs back, Warden Sequin, for I know you're watching. Now see what the glow can really do. And he's blowing up everybody's cells to get them out. Watch your prison crumble! Breep, breep, breep! So the SPs come a-running. The damage is growing progressively worse. Each step that Garak takes, he infects more of Labyrinth like a death virus. The Force shield holds, but it cannot contain all the prisoners if they are freed. I have Polar Boy and Chief Zandak on the holoscreen for your Warden. What's happening, Warden Sequin? Do you have a count on the freed prisoners yet? Spare me the questions. Half the LSV are free, plus uncounted others. How soon may I count on help from Earth, or will you let the animals get scattered so far you'll never collect them in a single trap again?
There's something about this way this scene is that says this was a lot of Giffen.
Yeah, this is a lot of Giffen.
You know, you got the Keystone Cops heading out, and yeah.
hustle. Legion Academy, Old Montauk Point, Earth. And Bouncing Boy's there with Siobhan, and this must be a new SP uniform because it's very good. Red, blue, and white. Grief. It's very patriotic.
Yeah.
And they're zapping someone in an energy field, and Bouncing Boy says, the force shield's still holding, and I have the generator at maximum output. And the data doesn't even show a ripple of stress, Bouncing Boy. And it turns out it is single solo sister in there. And she says, could you stop then? I don't think I'll ever get used to standing still in the middle of so much energy. It must be a weird feeling, Lornu.
And she's got to be thinking, like, you know what? I've died twice. Like,
yeah.
do we need to screw around right now? Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Well, lots better than being blasted by it all, though, I bet. I never thought about how the shield belt made Brainy feel. It was like a part of him, Siobhan. All the more impressive that he gave it to your wife then, Bouncing Boy. Just watch if you think that's impressive. Push it, honey. Push it real good. No. Are you sure, Chuck? Monitor's on. I'm ready. And then we see nothing but wham!
that song actually would have been right around this time, too.
Exactly. Yeah. And everybody watching the test goes head over head, heels, basically. And all of them like, wow! Oh, sorry, students. I didn't realize the expanding shield would cause that much damage. And there's Northwind. Saying, but have you not told us to investigate our powers before we could hurt anyone? Before anyone corrects me, I know, Northwind. No, that's Nightwind. Northwind's Infinity Inc. paint fumes all day. I'm not kidding. This is Nightwind. Sorry.
I think Bouncing Boy's been inhaling some paint fumes, too.
Well, it's that horn stash. It's creeping me up.
Good grief.
It's like Starboy left. I'll give someone else facial hair. Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
What? No. Meanwhile, in Labyrinth, you've got a really cool-looking snake guy behind this really intimidating guy.
Kind of looks like one, like...
I want to work here.
When you look at the other view of his head in the next panel, he's clearly modeled after a Geiger alien. Yeah.
Yeah. Alien, yeah. Our keepers have lost control, but I think they have not yet realized it. Cells burst open around us, but the warden has not run for his escape vessel, and so we cannot seize it. I know of no escape vessel, Kund, or of why we have been freed, but Lazon knows the weapons we require are within reach.
Friggin'
and
Lazon.
There's Titania behind Lazon, along with
Silver Slasher.
That's it, Lazon. Burn that shield. Armory to control. The prisoners are attacking a greater number than we can halt, led by Lazon and Titania. We'll try to hold on as long as we can. And that little asterisk at the end of the sentence means that guy's dead.
Yeah.
basically. Keep holding, guards. The warden swears help is on the way. And you see a guy. He is clearly all messed up, say liar, into his communicator. and we get a kaboom.
It's not drink. A
cup, but close enough for government work.
It rhymes.
Mm-hmm. And Lazon says, kill them all and let's get off this torture chamber world. Armory breached, Warden. I count over 150 cells open now. Isn't it acceptable to get off where while we may? Not to me, officer. Now be quiet. I'm still considering a plan. Reinforcements are on the way, and I want to be prepared for their arrival. That's peculiar. I would have expected a breakout to begin in the high security section, but it hasn't even touched that area yet. Cells on the corridor leading in are just breaking open. I wonder what in hell is doing this to us? Finally, the triumph of my scheme is at hand. Beloved, Garak of the Glow is here for you! And you're like, uh-oh, this can't be good.
Mm-hmm.
And you see Ultra Boy show up. Wrong, Coon. The Legion is here for you. Assuming you're the creep behind this escape, that is. Wham. Whoop. Ooh. No, not when I am so close. Oh, caught the edge of that as I was changing from super strength to invulnerability. Hard to switch fast after long flight at ultra speed. At least he can't hurt me anymore. Huh? Coon's walking away, and we see the Coon leaving Ultra Boy behind while Ultra Boy's got these little flashes in his vision, can't see much.
Yeah.
And there's Wildfire. Ultra Boy, you okay? Dawnstar and I heard you cry out. Fine, Wildfire, but did you see a Coon go past? That sounds so like a joke. <It does. laughs> Which way did he go, George? Which way did he go?
Oh, I'm sorry, Darren. Are you trying to imply that Ultra Boy is of lesser intelligence?
I didn't say that at all.
I think it was you that said... You actually went there first. I'm just impressed. I didn't get a chance.
I don't believe I said anything, sir.
I was about to go for that line, and you beat me to it.
I might have inferred it, but I don't think I directly stated it.
Fair enough.
Meanwhile, at Legion headquarters, Polar Boy's walking around. I did the right thing, George. Yes, I did. I'm a good boy, George. I did the right thing. If I keep saying it, maybe I can believe it. Only 3 Legionnaires are swift enough to beat the cruisers there, so I had to send them ahead. And with that many superpower criminals free, the rest of the team was needed. But I couldn't leave Earth without anyone on guard, could I? I did the right thing. Actually, I believe you did the right thing, Polar Boy. Sensor Girl? Mm-hmm. Wow, you're not wearing your mask. I don't know who you are. But you signed out for a few days rest off planet. You didn't even leave word when we could reach you.
And this outfit she's wearing is reminiscent of the color scheme of her old costume, her original costume.
And she's moving to a new costume soon as well.
That's right.
Which will get really confusing between the covers and the interior art.
Oh, soon. Yeah. Very much, yeah.
And she says, I knew you needed me, so I came back. Oh, it must be nice to know something with that kind of certainty. I wish I knew if Monel and Shady were coming back, how to reach the White Witch, if Brainy would even talk to me, if I could call Kolu, where Block disappeared to. And
yeah. Clearly, okay. Everybody, Polar Boy's an awesome leader.
Network. Not calling all my dead answers just to answer these questions for you. She's like, and if you did the right thing in sending so many Legionnaires to Labyrinth, I believe so. And unfortunately, from what I perceive happening on Labyrinth as we speak, I can be of little use there either. But having neither Saturn Girl's powers nor Dream Girl's, I can do little to answer your other questions. Thanks. I needed that bit of cheering as he walks off defeated. Meanwhile, in deep space, well, that's the United Planet Central Data Banks, the Science Police System, and our own Legion files exhausted. I'm down to searching the media for miracle cures, references, pathetic. But I know there's someone out there somewhere who can help Mon-El. I just don't know where. And Mon-El sits up. That bad, huh, Shady? I didn't say you don't have to, love. It may be all I can do to get out of the meta capsule for a few minutes at a time, but I can still read your face. You're suffering worse than I am. You never should have performed that marriage right while I was unconscious. You have to accept that you still have a life ahead of you, Shady. And mine is over. And Mon-El's looking really rough. He looks like radiation burns all over his body. He barely has the hair he used to.
Yeah.
He looks rough, and she's just crying and saying, shush to him. Meanwhile, that page was just to let us know that that's still going on, because it will become a little important note later.
Yeah.
Back on Labyrinth, Wildfire's zooming around doing his thing. Haven't been outnumbered like this since Darkseid loosed the Daxamites, but these clowns aren't in that class. Washoom! Close enough.
Yeah, take a drink.
There's a lot of them, but they're all headed for the same space, the docking bays. Hoping there are enough shuttles to get them off-world. I could burn the lot of them, but that wouldn't be Legionnaire-like, so I'll blind them instead. Sun Boy would be proud of me. Meanwhile, Dawnstar. There are a handful of escapees gathered in one spot. Perfect, and she drops a net on them. Oh, look. She's hunting.
Yeah.
Wait for it. Dawnstar, run. She can't stop us. She has no dangerous powers. And then the net drops on them. I caught another group in one of your capture snares, officer. How much longer do you want me to be a target for their attention? Long as you're willing, Dawnstar. We've lost count of how many prisoners are running wild. And she just says, delightful. You know, I know she and Phantom Girl have had words lately, but still.
Yeah.
Donnie's hilarious when she's like, aloof and put upon.
Even when she she was a little catty when she was getting into it with Phantom Girl, but there's still a chunk of that to her. For sure.
She's so much better when she's like this, and she's like, will I marry Drake?
Oh my God, seriously.
Yeah. But then she says, I would have been better off working with Wildfire. And then we see Wildfire gets Pal whooshed across a panel.
Yeah.
And then
again, that's a very Giffen moment.
Very Giffen thing. And Wildfire lands behind Ultra Boy. Garak, where are you, Garak? I'm not stopping till I find you. My mission is complete, Legionnaire. My beloved is free. Now the glow can take time to dispose of. Wham! Be quiet. That's a very Giffen panel as well.
Yeah. He's all over his fingerprints are all over this for sure.
Yep.
Just a note before we get there. There's a house ad for the Black Orchid miniseries, which was the Neil Gaiman Dave McKean 3-issue prestige series.
I know.
Yeah.
I like Neil Gaiman. I like Black Orchid. I did not like what they did to Black Orchid.
Fair enough.
Oh, sigh. Is that even possible? I guess it is because it's the truth. Yeah, still. Yeah. Ultra Boy looks at the unconscious form of Garak and says, "Idiot." And if Ultra Boy's calling you an idiot,
wow.
There you go.
Wow, it's all you this episode. This is awesome.
It's all me. Well, Josh hasn't texted me in a while, so I figure he's not listening anymore. Now I'll get a text.
Oh, Josh. Make my heart hurt, dude.
I'm teasing. So Ultra Boy says, so that's who he was after. I wonder if she set him up or he was naturally stupid. Either way, we're in for it now. If she's free, that damned eye must be around here too. It's probably sitting out there in space, waiting. Passively using its powers to avoid detection, hovering while it listens for its mistress's thoughts. If she's awake, she's reaching out, trying to make contact with the eye. And when she does, Labyrinth is even worse trouble. And we see the eye come into form. And then you see a whole bunch of emerald energy come out, zap, above Labyrinth. Meanwhile, back at the Academy, Siobhan is flying away. Bye, Siobhan.
Bye.
The officer, Aaron, is pretty, bouncing boy. I'd love to scan her with my micro-opti, says Busy Lad. Careful, Busy Lad, unless you want a very upset element lad taking you on, and I never met anyone stupid enough to want that. Got it? Oh, thank you, teacher. But all this testing of your wife's abilities using Brainiac 5's force shield belt confuses me. Does this mean she's going to leave the Academy and rejoin the Legion? And I thought mechanical powers cannot be the basis of membership. Brainiac 5 got in with his intelligence, not gimmicks, Busy Lad. And Lornu, tell you the truth, I don't know what she's going to do with the belt. And Bouncing Boy goes into the Academy. Sorry, I'm being distracted by a cat. ever since Superboy died, she's been pulling away from me. Then she got involved in that conspiracy and lost her duplicate self. God, what a year we're having.
Because think of this from Chuck's point of view, right?
Yeah, she didn't tell him.
No, and it's like, you know, it's like, oh, so this guy that you kind of had a thing for before we started hanging out, you know,
yeah,
and he's always kind of felt like second prize.
Oh, totally.
Right, and
always felt unworthy of being a guy Legionnaire with the two wives, you know, basically.
Yeah, and and he's like, you know, this whole idea of then she got involved in the conspiracy and lost her duplicate self. I mean, he's been sitting there. His wife goes off to fight for her old love, and half dies.
Yeah,
you know, and I like that we're getting to see some of the impact on him. Mm-hmm. I mean, this has got to be tough on him on their relationship because his wife just. Like lost one of her lives, you know.
Yep.
It's I think this is really well done.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with it. It was nice to see
why
this is and how it's affecting Chuck as well as Lornu because of course she didn't get that when she lost her first body. She was always like, "Hi, call me Duo Damsel now." And
I'm changing my name.
Exactly.
I never felt like that really got any kind of impact until the first that Levitz annual.
That annual when Levitz brought it back up. Yeah.
Exactly.
And Bouncing Boy says, "Hi, sweets, I'm back." And Lorna says, "Oh, hi. Siobhan, get off, okay? Fine. How come you're so down though? I would have thought you'd be excited with Brainy retooling the belt so you could use it. It's more powerful than I would have dreamed, but." Oh, I don't know. I left Karg as a kid trying to get famous because I thought it'd be exciting. I never thought it'd cost me 2/3 of my soul. And any other Karg in would be dead already, and I don't know why I'm not. So I'm not going to push my luck. The belt goes back to Brainy on Kolu with thanks, but no thanks. Meanwhile, on Labyrinth, the power siphon is completely blown, force field down, life support running on reserve power, and I don't have enough energy to run a security system to hold in a puppy. Damn! Even with three legionnaires to help, I can't hold all the prisoners under these conditions. There go the first shuttles. And all the prisoners are like, we did it! We did it! Labyrinth has finally been beaten! We're free! Set a course for the asteroid archipelago, then, and we can ditch these shuttles there and get passage home. Crews are coming up on the screens, too small to be an SP patrol. What? And we get a poosh. The shuttle's turning to gas, and it's then reforming into a cage around them. A little neutron here, some iron there. Mustn't forget to keep supplying oxygen. Any nitrogen breathers around, speak up while you can. Oh no, old element lad. Is that you, Roy? I didn't think you'd have the courage to be one of the escapees. Do me a favor and ask the others to behave. And Element Lad has a new costume, which is no longer the black and pink. It's now white and black. So, yeah, that's new. And he tells Roy there might be someone in the cage who doesn't understand I'm supplying them with the air to breathe, and that it wouldn't be healthy to interrupt his concentration. Nice. And there's Sunboy and Phantom Girl. Sunboy says, nice work, Element Lab. Phantom Girl and I will stop the other shuttles, and Sunboy's got a new outfit as well. Phantom Girl seems to be rocking the outfit that she had before when she left on the Espionage Squad trip to go find Cam, but without the red in it. It's back to white and black for her. Phantom Girl shows up in the cruiser, and people say, "La Legionnaires!" Well, just one so far, but more are on their way. Why don't you surrender now and save us all some trouble? And they shoot at Phantom Girl. Oh, silly boys. If you're done showing off, can we get on with this, or would you rather Sunboy take you in? And the guys go, okay, okay, it's not worth taking a chance of getting burned that bad. And there you go. There's that.
Yeah.
There's that. And then one really large alien, it's a dumb dominator, says, hide, debris, hide me, be safe here. And they're shrinking Violet unconscious for some reason. What a little legionnaire. Do they expect such as this to recapture us? Yep. And there's Cam changing his face into something horrible to knock the dominator out. Her name is Shrinking Violet, and she's brought down better than you, Dominator. Thump. And then there's another one who looks kind of like the dumber, purple, bigger version of Block. And that's Timberwolf in a new costume. They all have new costumes, kids.
Yes, yes.
That you, Chameleon Boy? The stupid new suits are not only confusing, they make me itch. It's me, Timberwolf. And admittedly, Timberwolf's got a really dumb-looking wolf pelt over his shoulder.
Yeah, yeah, very Kraven.
It's like, where are you going with that? It's very Kraven the Hunter. It's very frightening.
Not a good look.
Back on Labyrinth, situation stabilizing, Warden. We were able to use the lessened life support system to our advantage, steering fresh air only into secure corridors. Amazing what a little carbon dioxide does to escapees. Legionnaires are requesting prisoner transports to replace the damaged shuttles. The UP fleet is sending some suitable vessels from the nearest starbase. Dawnstar here, Warden. If I have done what you require, I shall depart and rejoin my teammates. Breep, population of prisoners outside their suspend cells dropping. Estimated total escapees now under 10. Breep, it seems we have made it through this situation, Chief Zendak. Don't belittle the accomplishment, Warren. Warden, I've been through my share of prison riots, remember? Breep. Meanwhile, Labyrinth on the port level. All in all, that worked out pretty well. Polar Boy's strategy of sending a fast team and then massive reinforcements was sensible. And Vi says, so he got lucky and made a right move. About time. Oh,
damn,
my
burn.
Yeah, you're not getting any quarter with Violet. Tinya, did you get her? Get who, Joe? Where have you been? The Emerald Empress, of course. The whole jailbreak. It was just a setup just to free her. And I'm assuming Tinya says, oh, no. And then back on Legion headquarters at Earth, there's Sensor Girl in her traditional Sensor Girl outfit. Well, sort of, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, the mask is a little odd.
The mask is a little off, yeah. She says, I wonder. She did it. I knew it would happen whether I was there or not. It was foreordained. When next we meet Empress, I promise it will be for the last time.
Damn.
Next, different paths.
this sets up some stuff for sure.
Yes, it does.
There is one letter. Well, there's a few very interesting letters in the letter column, but I want to highlight one that is from James Rickliffe, and of course we've heard his name many times, including in as a planet, etc. I believe as a planet in the Legion. Awesome. So he says, I've been rather disappointed in the use of mutagenically altered Earth colonies to explain the powers of several of the Legionnaires. It implies that at some point between the 20th and 30th centuries, Terran science achieved the ability to create superpowered people, even if it needed several generations to do so. A logical extension of this would be that some fanatical group somewhere could use this technology to create a race of superpowered beings. For example, it should be quite feasible that a race of people with Lightning Lass's powers could be developed. What a formidable army they would make. Therefore, this reader wonders why this hasn't happened if indeed mutagenics is possible. But it's easier to complain than provide helpful suggestions, right? So I took up the challenge of explaining the powers of one of the few Legionnaires not yet adequately explained in the existing annals of Legion lore. Phantom Girl. I hope you find it useful. Where does Tinya's body go when she turns Phantom? When I began reading the Legion almost 25 years ago, I'd always assumed that it sort of phased back to her home planet, Bigzotal. But over the years, as I've thought more and more about it, I've decided this is not a very viable explanation. After all, then it would later actually become a lot of that.
Exactly.
But if that were the case, why didn't she bump into Bigzotalian objects while her body was there? Oh, sure, Bigzotalians can all turn Phantom on their planet, and so one could argue that she's simultaneously a Phantom there, too. But then that still doesn't answer the original question of where does her body go. Uh-huh. Let's look at the evidence before it, shall we? First of all, wherever it is that her body goes, it doesn't bump into anything else while she's there. Also, she's not totally gone, because we can still see her, and she can still be heard, because... She can see and be seen as well as hear and be heard. Therefore, my conclusion is that she somehow transports herself to some sort of transdimensional space, which lies partway between here and Bigzotalian space. And I think they touched on this a bit during the end of the Reflecto saga. This then is not a completely different dimension, but rather a sort of stepping stone between dimensions. Materially separate from ours, but with a boundary permeable to energy. Since Bigzotalians enjoy the same power in their universe, there must be a similar stepping stone transdimension which lies adjacent to Bigzotal. And since presumably Phantom Bigzotalians don't bump into one another, we can postulate that space is indeed warped in these transdimensions. Confusing, huh? How about a quick summary? If one were to travel from Bigzotal to Earth, one would enter the Bigzotal transdimension where one could see Bigzotal. Then one would enter the Earth transdimension where one could see Earth. Lastly, one would land on Earth. As a crude analogy, one could think of Earth and Bigzotal as giant rooms with different air pressures, and so the transdimensions are airlocks between them, each with the window facing its adjacent room. The average non-Bigzotalian traveler, of course, would not notice these fleeting transdimensional spaces. But for some reason, which I'll get to later, Bigzotalians are aware of them and can even traverse them. What else is there to say about PG's power? First of all, PG must be vulnerable to energy attacks. After all, if she can see and be heard, and hear, or she can see and be seen and hear and be heard, then some amount of energy must be able to pass between this universe into her transdimension. Mm-hmm. This fact is rarely exploited, but I recall wondering about it very early on. And I believe it was in One of Us is a Traitor in Adventure 346 that she was knocked out by a shockwave while in her phantom form. One would think that should be smart enough to flash a bright enough light at her to blind her and thus eliminate her as a threat. Now, how about her rarely shown ability to make other things immaterially? Paul, you've stated that PG can't do that, yet she sure as heck doesn't pass through her costume when she passes, when she goes Phantom. It must become a Phantom with her. Why? My theory is that the costume is made in Bigzotal and that PG can transport anything from Bigzotal through these trans dimensions. Perhaps she hasn't been back to Bigzotal for quite a while, and that's why she's been stuck with that out-of-fashion costume for such a long time. This would explain how she was able to carry a vial of acid through a wall back in the Outlawed Legion in Adventure 351. Mm-hmm. She must have gone to Big Zatilla to get it. Of course, this doesn't explain how she was able to transport a couple of her fellow legionnaires between dimensions back, I believe, in the Reflecto. He says story, but I know what he means to say is saga. But then I think almost everyone agrees that it's all for the best if we just wipe that little travesty of a story off the books completely. Mother Puss Buckets.
Murray, are you going to take that sitting down?
I don't know if I can take it, so I'm sure Murray's with me. As a fellow saga mm-hmm. fan. Unfortunately, none of this so far addresses the question of why did the Big Zatillians have this ability. My theory is that Big Zatil was once Earth. At some time many centuries in the past, a vast cosmic ripple in space passed through the vicinity of the Earth and swept a duplicate of our planet into another dimension. This would explain why Big Zatillians and Big Zatillian culture is so similar to Earthman and Earth culture. However, this other dimension where Big Zatil resides is somewhat unstable, and thus everything on it is dimensionally unstable also. Over time, the Big Zatilians became aware of this fact and developed conscious control over their own dimensional location, and thus was born the Big Zatilian Phantom Power.
Good Lord.
Yeah. It may not be a perfect explanation, but I like it better than mutagenically altered colonies.
Well, I get that, because that's kind of the X-Men explanation in a way. You're just born with that power. It's fine. So is everybody.
Yeah.
Obviously, Phantom Girl's powers have been shown inconsistently over the years of what she can and cannot do and what affects her and what doesn't. I've seen her – in my first book, she walked into a nuclear reactor on Meltdown.
Yeah.
So the radiation didn't bother her then.
Yeah.
But then I've seen Radiation Roy use his powers against her to great effect in the LSV-LSH war.
That's right. So yeah, you're right. Some inconsistencies for sure. Yeah,
very inconsistent about it. So I think that's one of those things, like, can Chameleon Boy become a couch?
Yeah.
You know, can Cam duplicate people's powers? Can Phantom Girl take I think maybe she gets bonuses, if you want to use a role-playing term, to take people to and from her home planet. But even then, they actually showed her using a ship to do that. So,
and I even remember that being very difficult during the Reflecto saga.
Saga.
But Levitz replied saying, "We've always listed Big Zatil as a world that's been settled since before Earth sent out any deliberate colonies, James. So perhaps your explanation could be true, but give us time to get around to telling our version, and we'll do our best to play. Can you top this?"
Well, and little did you know FaZe was coming, so there you go.
Well, there is that. And
and that will muddy everything up.
Is she or isn't she? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so there we have it. That was a long one, so I won't...
Indeed.
Wait. After reading this one from Robert Hilton, after reading number 49 and really loving Pat Broderick's guest artist work, I had a brainstorm of what might be happening. The conspirators are on a quest to break the Iron Curtain of Time and revenge themselves against the Time Trapper. But their efforts have been in vain, since they cannot find a controllable power source powerful enough to accomplish the impossible and yet be contained with my equipment, as Brainiac 5 rages. But there is one weapon in the Legion's arsenal that could break the curtain, and if they dare use it. And it's a weapon that the Time Trapper has coveted since the Adventure Comics days, the Concentrator.
Ooh, the Concentrator.
Yeah, the Concentrator is the ideal device for the Time Trapper to want, as it drains all the power in the universe. It could be considered the ultimate device for the Lord of Entropy. In keeping with his character, I believe that he would plan so the Legionnaires could only destroy themselves. And they said, sorry to cut short the rest of your version of the Trapper's plot, Robert, but it was very ingenious. The thought of the Concentrator didn't occur to us while we were working on the storyline, but it would have been a particularly appropriate element to introduce. Oh, well.
Maybe the Concentrator got destroyed in another untold tale of the Legion.
Exactly.
Or maybe it didn't exist since this was after Crisis.
Well, there's that.
They retconned that story right out. Done.
Yeah, there was a lot of that going on at the time.
There was, wasn't there?
All right, well, that seems to be a wrap.
It is. We need to send out a quick shout out to our buddy Peter Van Denning, friend of the show. He's got some health issues going on. We love you, Peter. We're all pulling for you. And LLTL, dude.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Comments, as always, are welcome at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. You join the conversation on our Facebook page at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We are on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. And in addition to all these other things, you can head over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, where you can leave a comment on this or any episode. Hey, I'm going all micro machines.
You almost got there. Yeah.
Damn. And so we'll climb back into that time bubble, and we will see you all next week.
Which way did he go, George? Which way did he go?